Hi, I'm Ken.
And I'm Dee.
And this is Antiques Freaks.
It's only the best podcast ever.
About antiques.
Ever.
For freaks. What antiques are we talking about this week?
Well, Ken, I thought we would talk about something that's a little bit near and dear to my heart.
Unlike all the other antiques?
Well, some of them are less near and dear to my heart.
Wow. Fake fan.
I'm not a fake fan. Look, a fake fan would pretend to love everything. A real fan admits their prejudices.
You know what? You're right.
Thank you.
And frankly, I admire your intellectual honesty.
Thank you. And please, bravery as well. Thank you.
Well, yes.
Bravery as well. Very brave. Thank you.
Your emotional bravery and intellectual honesty.
Thank you. That's all I wanted to hear. And several other compliments. Feel free to scroll on down and leave a review where you leave me compliments.
5 stars. Your hair looks amazing today.
5 stars. Your parents were wrong about you.
My God!
Would you want to talk about bookcases, or more specifically, barrister bookcases?
Every day of my goddamn life, I have waited to hear you say those words.
You could ask, but thank you. Like, wow, if you'd been waiting that long, like, why weren't you just like, hey, can we do a... But, okay, I'll take the enthusiasm.
Listen, you're the emotionally brave one, okay?
Okay, alright.
You're the one who knows to ask for what they need.
Do you know what a barrister bookcase is?
It is a bookcase with a glass front that slides down over each individual shelf.
Correct!
It is beautiful and perfect, and I need 12 in my home immediately, and if you have any of them to spare, please mail them to my house.
That's going to be tricky, but I encourage you to do so. So, barrister bookcases, that's correct. They're also called stacking bookcases, sectional bookcases, extensible bookcases, elastic bookcases, and the lawyer's cabinet.
Because barrister is English for lawyer, but a very specific kind of lawyer. The other hyper-specific kind of lawyer is called a solicitor. What's the difference between the two, you ask? Get someone to tell you, I dare you.
Yeah, and like, get comfy, bring your pajamas, and settle the fuck in, because you're gonna be there for a long time. It is a bookshelf that consists of separate individual cabinets, usually with a door that closes over the contents using an up and over mechanism, not unlike a roll top desk.
Or a garage door.
And sometimes a separate base and separate hood to complete the look.
Not only are they beautiful and perfect and precious, but they are also easy to break down and reassemble and move from place to place, which makes them perhaps the perfect apartment bookcase.
Perhaps.
Is this perhaps why I can't fucking find any?
That is probably why.
God damn it.
As Ken has teased, they do get their name from their previous use. Barristers and lawyers. The best really quick explanation I could find is that a barrister is an expert on case law that represents clients in court. And if you're like, I'm actually, like, save it. You make your own podcast.
Or email us directly, antiquesfreakspodcast@gmail.com. Or leave your explanation in a 5-star review in the podcasting app of your choice.
Yeah, 1 star. That only barely scratches the surface. But I got that from a legal website, so it's something.
Legally, it was a website.
True. But yeah, for a long time, barristers would have to travel a judge's court circuit and later focus on visiting clients in their home. So they had to move around a lot. And the thing about case law is that you have to bring a ton of reference material to court with you. The reason lawyers have a lot of books is because they have to reference a lot of shit in the books.
Sorry, I'm just here, jaw dropped, mouth hanging open, with the realization that that's why they're stackable and portable. So you can move all of your stupid law books from town to town.
Yeah.
Fantastic. That's so magical.
Or you could put the books that were related to a specific case in one section and take just that one section with you.
Oh my God. I didn't know it was possible for me to love them more.
They are practical.
They're practical. They're so practical.
And the doors, of course, helped ensure that nothing happened to the books while you were moving them.
Oh my God.
Because, as you might have guessed, books from the early 19th century and before were extremely expensive.
Yeah, they were!
And in a time before plastics, this was the safest way to move shit, especially if you had to move shit frequently. Is it all coming together for you? You sound so in awe.
It's just, you know that meme where it's like, small brain, bigger brain, brain with so many synapses, I suddenly understand the multiverse? Like, it's that. That's what's happening to me right now as you explain the bookcases I've loved all my life.
I'm so glad. Yeah, so that was their primary use. They were heavily associated with lawyers. However, because they were very useful...
Because they were God's most perfect bookcase?
They were God's most perfect bookcase, practically speaking. But since they were primarily owned by lawyers, who had enough money to own all of these books, they were also subtly beautiful.
Damn right they are.
Which, for a really long time, the only people who had regular access to books were people with a lot of money. So showing off is a part of keeping your collection of books safe. And eventually, barrister bookcases would catch on with other places that needed to store lots and lots of books and move lots and lots of books, primarily schools and libraries. One fun thing is that they always feature glass in the front, of course, keep dust and effluvium off of the book. Effluvium? I don't know that that's going to get on the books, but if it did, the doors would keep it safe.
Absolutely.
Some of the windows had LED lights, which were non-stained glass decorative glass. Glass.
You want to run that by me again? I'm trying and I'm not getting there.
Glass that was like had the leaded decorations in it. It just wasn't the stained colors.
Oh, okay.
So they would be geometric shapes.
So the metal in between the panes of glass is in a particular pattern.
Yes. These were called LED lights.
Okay. And you're not just pronouncing LED as lead.
I am not, because they did not have RGB bookcases in the early 19th century.
Okay. I think that's the point where my brain was like kind of tripping and falling down the stairs on its way to enlightenment. So now that we're there.
You thought that I was like, and they were RGB too. It was great.
I was very confused.
That's okay. We accept you.
Thank you.
They were most commonly found in increments of 3 to 6 cabinets, although their modular nature meant that you could kind of do what the fuck ever once you had them. And notably, there are, especially in the collector's market today, 2 major types of barrister bookcases. True barristers, which have to serve several practical functions, including they have to be reasonably portable, they have to separate, and they have to be sturdy enough to carry a fully loaded case.
And they also have to have attained a bachelor's degree before they pass the LSATs.
And they have to do that thing Ken just said.
It's a joke about how barristers are lawyers, and a true barrister has to fulfill.
I was gonna say, it's probably funny to someone smarter than me.
Well, it also doesn't work as a joke because those are requirements to be a lawyer or judge in the United States, which, hey, we don't call them barristers here.
Oh, yeah. We don't do that.
So don't worry. The joke fails on multiple levels, regardless of the intelligence of the listener.
I think it's a good joke if you're like, I'm gonna show it to a lawyer and see, like, is this a good joke?
It's a good joke if you're feeling very generous.
Oh, you. So there's the true barristers, which pass its LSATs, but they have to be reasonable to port actual heavy books. In fact, some featured fold-out handles on the side, which I think is the most exciting thing I've ever thought about.
It's the sexiest goddamn thing I've ever seen.
I want a pair with fold-out handles so bad.
You're going to have to fight me for it.
Okay. I won't fight you. You win. You're my brother, I can't.
Where's your emotional bravery now?
No, this is my physical bravery. I don't have any of that. I never said I had any of that. In fact, it's emotionally brave of me to say I'm afraid to fight you and I'm not going to do it. You'll kick my ass. No, thank you. The other type would be the decorator copies.
For the bzzers.
Yeah, well, to a certain extent, yeah. Decorator copies are generally more lightly constructed. Most of them are still modular, can be moved and stacked. It is just sort of that you wouldn't necessarily do it with the books inside.
Decorator copies sounds like such old-timey shade against interior designers.
It does, doesn't it?
I don't know why it's cracking me up so bad.
You've just like coined a new insult.
I'm excited to find a new way to bully interior designers. Shout out to all of our interior design listeners.
Yeah, shout out to y'all.
Thank you for keeping our industry alive.
I'm really just jealous. Y'all are the realest.
This is pure envy. Thank you for listening.
I think a decorator copy is fine. For people who don't actually have to travel on the regular with their books, I think the decorator copies are, like Ken said, the ideal apartment dweller situation because they are still easy to deconstruct and reconstruct. Although, some of them, this is disgusting, are a single fixed case with overhead doors.
Respectfully, go take a long walk off a short pier. Why would you do this to me, personally and specifically?
And that's to the shelf. Walk yourself into the incinerator, buddy. Nobody wants you. Now, notably, the king of the barrister bookcase would be a company called Globe Wernicke Co., founded in Cincinnati in 1899. They were marketed originally as an elastic bookcase, and no, I never found out why the fuck they said that. People just seem to have accepted that as another term for barrister.
Do they perhaps mean elastic as a synonym for versatile?
That seems likely, yes, actually. Thank you. Now, as you can see, Globe Wernicke, even in 1899, was already moving away from referring to these as specifically lawyers' objects. And Globe Wernicke, following the habit of other furniture makers who were working with barrister bookcases, tended to use really luxurious woods like oak, walnut, and mahogany. Now, the things you might notice about those woods is that they're super expensive, like very.
Well, not these days, now that the children hate brown furniture.
Well, yeah, I guess maybe my head's still in the past when I say that. Actually, the damn kids can't tell the different woods apart.
I had to explain the term brown furniture to my cousins over the holidays, and I felt like such a tool and a clown.
Why? If they didn't know, then, like, that you're not the clown.
The phrase brown furniture. Like, yeah, you know exactly what it means when you say it, but it's so nondescript, and it sounds like such a kindergartner telling a story about the stuff in their house, you know?
The furniture is all brown.
Exactly.
I see what you mean, but... Well, if you're young, once upon a time, oak, walnut, and mahogany were very valuable woods, and people did make a habit of being able to tell them apart.
Once upon a time, that was considered both a valuable skill and a cool party trick.
Yeah, if you ever see a person sort of crabbing around furniture at a party...
If you ever see a person crawling fully under a table at a party, they're doing something very cool and normal, and you should respect them more for it.
Yeah, what I want you to know is that they're very cool, they're sick as hell, and you should pour them a drink. And tell them, unrestricted, they'll listen to you talk about your favorite antiques for exactly 20 minutes. Then you set a timer.
You set the timer because setting boundaries is important.
Someday I would like to talk more about telling wood apart, but it's a really, really crazy thing to try to do through audio format. So I don't know if maybe I should just, like, make a PowerPoint and, like, disseminate it.
I mean, it could be a fun live stream.
It would have to be. Because it would just be crazy if I'm like, all right, now the grain is like, but not like wah. And the color is brown, but not like brown, like a light brown, like a toasted marshmallow. Like, could you imagine? It'd be the worst thing of all time.
On the other hand, it would also be very funny.
It could be an ASMR, but I know you've promised to never do ASMR.
We did, yeah. We heard your complaints when we did our survey of whether or not you wanted ASMR content from us. And overwhelmingly, the response was, I will unsubscribe.
Yeah. I will unsubscribe
from this and all other podcasts if you do ASMR content.
Someone hacked in and said, I will unsubscribe you from this mortal tether if you try this awful, awful thing.
I will unlisten to every episode of your podcast I have heard thus far if you do ASMR content.
I'm going to take a VHS rewinder and put it inside my brain and you will be responsible.
If you be unkind, I will rewind.
Me. My memories. Now I can't remember my niece. Thank you very much, Antiques Freaks.
And for these reasons, we will not be doing ASMR content.
One of the other fun things about the Globe Wernicke barrister bookcases. Just go back.
The smoothest segue we've ever done.
I've never known how to segue.
Honestly, it seems pretty difficult to balance, but I guess that's what the handles are for.
Nice.
Thank you.
All our friends with ADHD, y'all know, the only segue that I know is to just think of something different and abruptly introduce it.
It's always worked for me.
One of the fun things about Globe Wernicke barristers, though, is they had stock standard lengths for which that you could just buy a modular piece of the case and add it to your existing bookcase. But they had variable depths, which you could mix and match so that you could fully tailor your barrister experience to your collection of books.
Beautiful.
This also makes practical sense because moving them around with the books inside, which Globe Wernicke did focus on, they are very heavy, very sturdy, very well built. You wouldn't want a lot of little tiny books in an extremely deep case. They would rattle around.
True. They would shake, rattle, and roll.
They would shake, rattle, and roll. I do think it's very funny that the U.S. is the best known for creating the English lawyer bookcase.
I think we had a hot minute of calling them barristers over here, too.
Oh, we did, yeah.
Before we chucked all the tea in the harbor.
Well, yeah, well, unfortunately, the barristers came with the government for a bit, so. Another notable maker was F.E. Hale. They were founded in 1907, and what makes them so special is that they still make them and sell them.
We love to see it.
Using the exact same design principles. F.E. Hale, allegedly, I don't own a piece, I've never handled a new piece of F.E. Hale, allegedly is sturdy enough to be moved with the books inside as God intended.
Damn.
And they should be. They cost about $2,000 a piece.
I mean, it's still a better investment than West Elm.
Oh, it's a fantastic investment. They are handmade. These are handmade with using traditional methods, just updated materials. So, like, that is a fine piece of furniture that will absolutely become an antique in its own right in 100 years. Another fantastic segue. U.S. Gun Furniture Co.
Damn! That seg was so way, my dude!
Right? I weighed that seg all over the place. Right off a cliff. The U.S. Gun Furniture Co. was most notable for being one of the early ones to produce quote-unquote barrister-style sectional bookcases in the 1910s and 20s.
I love a quote-unquote.
Well, because they weren't... U.S. Gun sort of exemplifies that you couldn't necessarily take these on a court circuit with you, but they might be easier to move from house to house.
Ah, okay.
They were sectional, they were modular, they were just not heavy-duty sturdy.
They were interactive modular?
I don't remember the rest of that.
Now, do you actually not remember the rest of that? Or are you trying to save yourself from having it stuck in your head for the next 4 to 6 weeks?
Oh, wait, fuck, it was Banana Phone. I thought you were referring to the "we're going surfing on the internet" video.
No, dude.
Oh, wow. Wow, my brain did something real weird there.
In a desperate effort to save itself.
And another flawless segue. Now, the 1910s are...
The 1910s sure did happen, huh, folks? Remember, you were there.
The 1910s would also see the introduction of what we might euphemistically call less expensive wood. You start seeing less valuable but still sturdy choices like pine. Well, I said pine like it was a dirty word to me. Why did I do that?
Because you've worked in antiques for 20 years.
Pine is fine. There's nothing wrong with pine. A lot of folk art, folk furniture.
I cannot wait for your government-sponsored series of advertisements with the slogan, "Pine is fine!
Pine is fine! Vote for me!" Now, Ken, I've heard you from the very top of this episode, you want one of these sons of bitches.
Uh-huh, I do.
So you're gonna have to know what makes these sons of bitches valuable.
The fact that I want them.
The fact that you want them, well...
And I have incredible taste. Therefore, what I want, everyone else wants.
According to the principles of capitalism, that is the correct answer. So, I guess...
I win the podcast!
The value of a barrister bookcase is going to depend heavily on a couple of things. One is... how original is it? Which is to say, is it a true barrister bookcase? What is the likelihood that this was owned by a traveling lawyer? Which I love because I can't say traveling lawyer without pausing because I was going to say clown.
Just like instinctively?
Yeah! Like lawyers don't travel, but clowns do. So my brain was just like, lawyers don't do that, clowns do. Clown. Traveling clown.
I love that the first traveling profession in your mind is clown.
What's the first in yours?
Like, that's number one.
What's the first in yours?
Like, you go on Family Feud, they ask you to name a traveling profession, you just scream clown.
No, you go. What's yours? Traveling what?
Salesman.
Oh. Fuck. Shut it down! Shut the podcast down! I'm done.
It's over.
It's over. It's clown. The answer's clown. Could fit like 6 clowns in 1 barrister bookcase.
Oh man, now I'm imagining like a magician's routine where like you saw the person in half and like move the halves around, but instead it's a barrister bookcase and you're just like moving the modular parts around.
That would be such a fun trick. I would love that. Magicians, take note.
Magicians, you can have that one for free.
Yeah, that one's free. Yeah, as usual, the older and closer to its original purpose a piece is, the more expensive it's going to be. Now, in that market, we're talking the thousands. But fret not, these were so popular that, of course, you can find quote-unquote barrister style for less money.
I notice you're not saying for cheap or for affordable.
Yeah, so... As you've alluded to many times, the classic style of these and their, like, extreme practicality, like, these really are, like, the bookcase. They even, like, help mitigate, like, light damage to books. They're extremely handy. They are one of the antiques that I would say is almost always in demand.
God damn it.
I am sorry. However, that does mean that there's a lot of them.
But they are all money dollars, is the problem.
Well, yeah, but if you hunt, I've seen them for 100, 200, 300, reasonable prices. Another thing to look at to determine if it is a very valuable model is to look at the hardware and the accoutrement. The hardware, for example, one thing to really look for is the mechanism for the overhead door. Why, you can have a sort of general tambour like you would have on a garage or a roll-top desk. The really, really high-quality ones would actually have a sort of scissor mechanism that would have both sides move perfectly smoothly together.
As God intended.
As God intended. But yeah, this being a more advanced, high-quality mechanism would make the price higher. Of course, like I alluded to, the type of wood is going to tell you a lot about the value and possibly the age. Mahogany and walnut are some of the older and most valuable types, with oak definitely taking its place in the US once upon a time. I don't actually think oak commands a lot more of a price these days. Mahogany and walnut still do to an extent. And of course, if it has lead glass, especially decorative lead glass, colored lead glass, painted lead glass, that's going to up the value quite a bit. Other considerations are, how modular is this bitch? Does it have a leg base or a solid base for which to rest upon when not in travel? Does it have a hood to make the unit look more complete when not in travel? Does it have bits and bobs, such as some of them would sit on cabinets or have middle pieces that had drawers to make it an even more functional piece of furniture? Why did these ever go out of fashion?
As a crime against me, personally and specifically.
Barrister bookcases are to books what Hoosiers are to the kitchen.
Damn. You're not wrong, though.
Thank you.
I'm emotionally brave enough to admit that.
Thank you. And really, I'm gonna give you that. You are emotionally brave. You're a brave, brave, brave dog.
Thank you.
But if you don't need any of these bells and whistles, if you're okay with just having it be modular and pretty, I have seen very nice models sell for, like I said, 150, 200, 300, 500 if you're like a really up there.
If you're an absolute freak.
So Ken, I think someday we can make your dreams come true.
God, if only.
Oh, another thing to consider is how many pieces in the stack. Unusual numbers of cabinets in the stack will actually command higher prices. So if you get like 5, that's weird. More money, more money. As for identifying them, that's pretty easy. F.E. Hale is really the only company making them these days.
So you don't have to worry about repros?
Not really. F.E. Hale, I don't even think counts as a reproduction. They're just making contemporary pieces. They're all really well marked with the year. You'll know. If you were looking for Globe Bernicke in particular, which actually, as far as collectability goes, that's like a hot brand. They were also really well marked. Each individual cabinet would be marked for a Globe Bernicke piece.
Hot damn.
With either paper, metal, or print. Here's hoping it's print, because that's the one that doesn't come off. And as for dating, these actually had, like, a relative to the fullness of time, which I guess is everything is short compared to that.
Yeah, dude.
Well, they would pop up as a known entity by the mid-19th century, and they would be fall out of favor by the 1920s, when open bookcases and built-ins became the thing.
Disgusting.
Fuck 'em.
Well, no, okay, I do love a built-in, but still.
Yeah, I mean, actually, I would kill for a built-in, but still. but yeah, you might notice that that's actually a pretty short span of time.
It is. I did notice.
And yeah, that's Barrister Bookcases. I love them so much. It was fun to find out more about. I had actually not known about the lawyer, traveling lawyer thing. I just sort of assumed that they were called that because lawyers are associated with books.
What fools we were not to realize.
And this has taken a bookcase that I already loved and really heightened and deepened my love for it.
Hell yeah, dude.
Sources for today include nimbusantiques.co.uk, History of Antiques, The Barrister Bookcase, carters.com.au, Bookcases Function or Type Stacking, goodwooddc.com, Things We Love About Barrister Bookcases, and antiquesworld.co.uk, Globe Bernicke Bookcase.
If you would like to suggest an episode topic or just say hello, you can email us directly, antiquesfreakspodcast@gmail.com. You can post in our Facebook group, Antiques Freaks Friends. You can tag us on Tumblr, antiquesfreaks.tumblr.com, or you can check out our Instagram at instagram.com/antiquesfreaks.
If you want to elaborate on what the difference between a barrister and a solicitor, feel free to scroll on down to reviews from this podcast and leave us a 5-star review. You might not know it, but 5 stars is the only way that you get us to read what you wrote. That's not true.
No, it is, actually.
Every review helps get our dulcet, non-ASMR tones into a variety of waiting, hungry ears.
Ravenous these ears are.
They're so hungry. Feed them, please.
And if you need more Antiques Freaks in your week, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/antiquesfreaks, where every week we read and review a chapter of the Victorian Penny Dreadful, Varney the Vampire, The Feast of Blood. Special thanks to our patrons for paying our hosting fees and filling our hearts with love.
So much love.
And thank you in particular for listening.
That's right, you.
Au revoir.
Goodbye.